Well, you know, I'm 45 years old. I have four children. I'm married to Kim, and my wife is an administrative person at a community action program in Ramsey. She spent many years before that teaching math. I'm a lawyer. I practiced law for 16 years. I'm originally from the city of Detroit, and I went to University of Minnesota Law School and stayed in Minneapolis. Loved the community there and stayed there. My oldest son's 20. He's a student, college student. I have my second son actually lives in Miami and is working with City Year, which is a volunteer program for youth. And then I have a high school student and a junior high school student. My wife and I have three children, three boys and one girl.
And when you were sworn in, tell our listeners the story about the Quran that you used to be sworn in on.
Well, yeah, I was sworn in on the Quran. Actually, it actually happened somewhat in an interesting way, because before the election results came back in November of 06, I was interviewed on Somali television, and the interviewer really pressed me on whether I was going to swear in on the Quran. I hadn't thought about swearing in at all. I was talking about getting votes to the ballot box. But after several inquiries, and he really did ask me, if I get win, will I swear in the Quran? I said, sure. Well, people on right-wing hate radio got a hold of it and started really ginning it up. A gentleman named Dennis Prager argued that I would undermine the fabric of American society if I'd sworn on the Quran. Quite a hyperbolic, ridiculous statement, giving me way more credit than I ever deserved. But it so happened that my mother, who was Catholic, had a friend who gave her a Quran, and she offered it to me to use. It was a very ornate, beautiful book. And I was ready to use that one until I got a letter that was handwritten and signed from an individual who said, you should swear in on the Jefferson Quran. I didn't even know there was one. Well, so we called the Library of Congress. The letter actually contained the reference number for the book. And they said, yes, we'd be happy to let you use it. And they were pretty excited because, you know, as a librarian in the Library of Congress, they don't see much action, right? This is their chance to shine. You know, here's one of our rare books. So they were pretty pumped. And so they, on the day of the swearing in, they brought the book down. There were two people who were guarding it and caring for it. It's a two-volume set. Usually Qurans are only one. And it contains a lot of commentary and maps and things like that. And it's all in English. And it was written in 1730s or 40s, or translated. And it was a great moment in my life to be able to hold that book. You know, Thomas Jefferson was a great advocate of religious tolerance and wrote extensively on the topic. He read widely and wanted to know about the comparative religions of our society. So it was an honor to be able to swear in on the Jeffersonian Quran, and I'm glad I did it. And I think that just proves that when we write in our Constitution that there is no state religion, that Americans can practice any faith they want to. In fact, America's not a Christian or Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist country. It is a country in which those people are free to practice their religion as they choose. There is no state religion. And also, you know, it says in our Constitution, in Article 6, that there is no, that it's unconstitutional to require a test, a religious test, as a prerequisite to somebody to hold religious office. So it's very, very deliberate on behalf of our framers that they would keep the doors open for all faiths to practice freely and all Americans of whatever background to participate in this great American experiment.
Can you comment on then the presidency of the first African American?
There's an African American president? You're kidding. I can't imagine. Oh, is that Obama guy? Yeah, well, he won, huh? Just kidding. No. In all seriousness, you know, the election of Barack Obama is a great achievement for America. When Lyndon Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act in 1965, he said, we're probably going to lose the South for a generation. And he was right. Southerners converted to become Republicans, and Southern states were beyond the reach of the Democratic Party for a long time. this time, you know, Obama wins Florida. He wins North Carolina. He wins Virginia. He's highly competitive in many other southern states. Our country has gone through a transformative period where we really are voting based on our interests, not on the color of the skin of the candidate. This is an advance for our nation. And we're living, you know, when they said that, you know, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, some people would say that when those words were written that they weren't true. Well, they simply weren't true yet. Every day Americans are making them true. It was a statement of aspiration, not a statement of fact. And we are living up to that aspiration. I'm very proud of my country right now. It's not the first time I've been proud of my country, but it is one of those times I've been really honored to be an American.